Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough, unless maybe you bought a house in some of the areas covered by Candace Taylor, who's a covering residential real estate for the Wall Street Journal. She graduated from Amherst College. Amherst is located where, Candace?
In Western Mass.
Okay, I knew that. I couldn't quite place it.
It's pretty far out in the middle of nowhere.
And a master's degree from Columbia University, Graduate
right.
School of Journalism, and I know that that's in New York City.
Absolutely.
Skyscrapers and everything.
Yep, we've got a few of those here.
Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Candace.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We were just talking right before we came on the air, and one of the topics we're going to talk about is an article that Candace wrote about landscaping and people adding bocce courts, horseshoes, shuffleboard, croquet to their landscaping. And I didn't realize that one of the homes that she covered was in Hope Ranch, and she thought that's why I contacted her. But I'm not sure how I saw her, but it was an article that was written, and it caught my attention, and I so appreciate it. Do you grow up in Massachusetts or New York City?
I grew up in Connecticut, so about 2.5 hours outside the city. But as I'm sure you know, real estate is a pretty exciting thing to cover here in New York. So I've pretty much been here ever since, with a few interruptions here and there.
I grew up in Mount Vernon, New York. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, Westchester, right?
Just the first beginning of Westchester. The subway, mm-hmm. The L train actually ends at Mount Vernon. You look up and it just stops right there.
Some very expensive real estate in those parts now.
Nowadays. In Westchester, I guess. Mount Vernon is kind of mixed. It borders the Bronx, Yonkers. But mm-hmm. then you go over to New Rochelle and Bronxville, Sarah Lawrence College.
Yeah.
So, but then, of course, as you move north, you get into to more interesting locations and more expensive. So, so we'll talk more about how you track down and cover and different prices in Manhattan. I have some statistics here: luxury sales by cities, and New York is, of course, at the top of the heap. Would you say, of all the states, do you have anything in your head about where you find and Florida, where you don't pay sales tax? A lot of those Florida homes are listed in the weather of all, of course. But is the New York tri-state area, Connecticut, does that edge out Florida or California, or do you pay attention to that?
In terms of what I cover?
Yeah, these big estates.
So I write for the Mansion section, so we cover the whole country and overseas as well. Anything that's sort of considered high-end real estate, whatever a mansion means to you, basically. but in terms of the properties that I end up writing about most, it seems to be New York, Los Angeles, and Miami, and then a little bit of Aspen. Those are sort of the markets that are super expensive right now. I occasionally do get to write about homes in, beautiful Santa Barbara, which, as you know, talk about places with great weather. That's one of the big attractions for you guys. But those three spots are really where we're seeing, the $100 million listings and that kind of thing right now. So that's where I end up focusing often.
My guest is Candace Taylor. She's a reporter covering residential real estate for the Wall Street Journal. And I wish I had a listing that I could ask you to promote, but I don't quite. But I go on Caravan and I see quite a few. And I have a segment called Motoring with Mark, where I talk about different homes and kind of walk people through it. And if I was a little more organized, I'd take some of the pictures and put it on my website. But that's not my biggest strength. So we'll turn around. We'll come back to that. But I wanted to start off with this article about, of all things, bocce. And, Mount Vernon, where I grew up, heavily strong Italian presence. So I understand bocce. But most of the homes, like you say, would be doing this would be upper-tier estate homes, $8-10 million on and north of that?
Well, that's part of what we're seeing. You know, in general, and I'm sure you see this with your clients as well, you know, people are just doing really much more elaborate landscaping these days. You know, it's bocce, it's horseshoes, you know, outdoor everything, outdoor fireplaces, outdoor patios. People just, you know, what I found in reporting this story is that people just want to spend as much time as they can outside, you know, sort of bonding with family. And that's especially true in places like Santa Barbara, where you can actually, you know, enjoy the good weather a lot of the year. And then within that, it sounds like bocce is just really popular right now from what I heard. And it sounds like it kind of started maybe at wineries like in Napa. It seems like a lot of them have bocce courts now. And so that has kind of spread to, you know, a lot of these sort of high-end homes. And what I found is that people love the game. They say it's pretty addictive, which maybe you know if you grew up playing it. And, you know, the folks that I spoke to said they love to have friends over, you know, maybe play a casual game before dinner. You know, they all said they love that you can play this game while you have a glass of wine in your hand.
Yeah,
that's a major attraction.
I remember reading that. Right, you could hold the wine in one hand and the bocce ball in the other. Now, I have to say, I don't think I've ever played a full game. I've seen them. I know I've thrown a bocce ball. Have you played? Do you know the rules?
I can't say that I know the rules. And actually, what the folks that I spoke to said is that the rules tend to change depending on whose house you're at.
And how much wine you've drank.
Well, exactly. And that's part of, I think, what people like about this is it's not, you know, super serious if you don't want it to be. It's really more just sort of like a casual, relaxed way of kind of bonding with people. They said that they really liked that people of all ages can play, you know, so grandparents can play with their little kids and that kind of thing, you know, as opposed to like if you have a tennis court, that's much more serious exercise, right? You have to go and change and wear special shoes. And it sounded like, well, of course, many people still have those and gyms and everything. They really like these sort of more relaxed activities, and they're willing to, you know, spend a lot to integrate them into the landscaping. You know, it's not just, you know, going out to Target and buying a set. It's, you know, building a permanent court. A lot of people use like AstroTurf or these special surfaces for bocce that are easier to take care of and clean.
Artificial versus what, compact clay? Is that what the original?
Yeah, it's well, it'll be gravel or clay usually. Sometimes shells are used. I guess that's one of the traditional surfaces, crushed oyster shells.
But compacted to the point where it appears to be a hard surface.
Yeah.
Or semi-hard surface, yeah.
Yeah, and what surface you use, it depends on how fast you want the court to be, you know, what sort of level of play you want to be at. But they've seen a big spike in the number of turf bocce courts, and which I guess is part of an overall trend towards, you know, turf becoming more popular in landscaping, I guess, to do with the drought and other factors. I'm sure you're seeing that as well.
Right,
but that way
right.
You don't have to do anything. You just cover it. You don't have to rake it or anything like that.
Well, you're painting a really nice picture. Especially I can see where it started in Napa. You have trees and canopies of oaks, and you're out there with some wine. And to give people a visual, if you don't know a bocce court, it's it looks like a bowling alley lane, essentially, long and narrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have these heavy balls, and you're tossing them from one end to the other, and I can't remember the rules. I don't know if you're supposed to hit a certain object ball or come close to it, something
similar. Yeah, you have a little ball. And then you throw the bigger balls, and the closest you get to it, I think,
and
you measure it.
You may or may not hit it. And so now, of course, I know it's a non-contact sport, but growing up in Mount Vernon, my friend Laddie Handelman, I think, used to body check people when he played bocce. He
was a, I don't think that's part of the standard game.
He was, well, you don't know Laddie Handelman, let me tell you. He was, so And as you were discussing, my guest, Candace Taylor, she's a reporter covering residential real estate for the Wall Street Journal out of New York City. I was glad you have the original 212 area code.
I do. I'm proud to still have it.
Yeah. And do you actually live in Manhattan?
I live in Brooklyn, which is about the craziest real estate market in the world, as far as I can tell right now.
Why do you say that?
Well, there's been a lot of press coverage of this lately, but it's just a really, really popular area with young families. It's still, you know, relatively affordable compared to Manhattan, although that's quickly changing. And, you know, just tons of young families are moving out there and grabbing, you know, grabbing up these brownstones to the point where they're very expensive now. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about gentrification, you know, older neighborhoods and the new residents that are moving in, and there are clashes there. And so it's an interesting place to live, but I can tell you that it's not cheap, and it's not easy to find a home, but I love it. It's a great place to live.
I'll have to send the podcast to this to my brother, who started school at Brooklyn Polytech.
Oh, there you go.
And then he went up to MIT, get his master's. Mm-hmm. And he came back to Brooklyn. He was living in Brooklyn Heights.
Great area.
Lived near Patty Duke. Mm-hmm. And then he moved over to somewhere off of Ocean Avenue, 18th Street or 18th Avenue. I don't know the specific area. But he was there forever until his wife convinced him to move to Long Island and buy a house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but he was a real Brooklyn guy. He really loved Brooklyn.
Yeah, and it's changed so much in, you know, in the last few years, you know, just new retail, new restaurants. It's, you know, some neighborhoods are virtually recognizable, and some pretty much look like they always have. I mean, I live in the historic district in Park Slope, where they have pretty strict rules about, you know, what changes you can make. So the streetscape where I live has been virtually untouched. But there are a lot of restaurants and bars now.
Well, we don't have that problem in Santa Barbara. We have no restrictions. You could just do whatever you want, paint it any color you want. It's just so liberal and open. Just tell all your friends.
Especially out on the coast there, right, with all those ranges available.
And the Coastal Commission, they actually just don't even bother with Santa Barbara. They just leave us alone. We could do whatever we want. It's amazing that you mentioned you live in Park Slope. Because that was on the tip of my tongue. One of my nephews, I think, at one time lived in Park Slope. Was there a movie, something with the name of Park Slope or something filmed there?
Oh, we have filming all the time in my neighborhood.
The original Law and Order.
Yep, Law and Order. We just had on my street this week, we had Madam Secretary filming, what's it called, Boardwalk Empire, Billions, all kinds of things. And I think some of that is to do with the city, you know, encourages a lot of that. I don't know how it works in Santa Barbara, but New York is sort of doing a lot to try to encourage folks to film in the city versus using a set.
Santa Barbara, I don't think we tend to encourage people to do much of anything. You just buy your house and don't paint it and don't put on a second story. And don't plan a hedge, and don't do anything. Just go inside, pull the drapes, and then you'll be fine in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, play a little bocce, maybe.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned my guest, Candace Taylor, reporter covering residential real estate for the Wall Street Journal. And she wrote an article, and you can, if you just put her name in online, you'll find the article about bocce and horseshoes and shuffleboard. And as you were mentioning, the home in Hope Ranch, 1.6-acre hillside property in Hope Ranch mm-hmm. area of Santa Barbara.
Gorgeous property.
Did you go there, or did you get just from photos?
I wish that I had been able to go there for this story. I do try to travel as much as I can. You know, I don't get to see every property that I write about, unfortunately, especially the ones on the West Coast. You know, I try to make, you know, at least one trip there a year, although I don't know about Miami this year with Zika and everything going on down there. But I do get to see a lot of the homes here in New York, which is it's a good place to be because of that. The mansion section, we do have a bureau in San Francisco, and we have reporters sort of all over. We have a reporter in Portland and LA, and we have contributors overseas as well. So we have folks sort of all over the country.
Who dubbed it the Mansion section of the Wall Street Journal?
There was a lot of discussion about that.
You know what I would have
named
it?
When it was started a few years ago, and it's meant to be sort of aspirational. It's meant to be, like I said, sort of whatever your idea of a mansion is. That's sort of what it's supposed to evoke.
You know what I would have named it?
What?
No, this is not a joke. The estate section.
That, I think that might have been one of the ideas they tossed around. I think they were worried that that sounded like dead people. the estate of such and such person.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's a connotation I didn't think of. In 28 years in real estate, I rarely see the word mansion, but it's very clear, you're right, what it is, and I guess you didn't want, right, it could be the obituary section, the estate section. You're
right,
absolutely right.
We don't want that. So although they do say that's how some people shop for homes in New York City.
Yeah, right. Or get rentals. As we recall, Elaine Bennis waiting for Jerry's Neighbor to die. So she could get that rental. But getting back to rules and regulations here in Santa Barbara, when I read your description of the Hope Ranch area home that put in a bocce court, it says here, I'm not seeing it, but that it had lights.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I thought of is for tennis courts in Hope Ranch, I'm not sure what the general rule is for the county, but you can't put lights on a tennis court in Hope Ranch. There are a number that do have lights, so they're grandfathered in. But I imagine, you know, the bocce court is pretty low, and the lights are not going to be up in the air like they are on a tennis court, so that's fine.
But yeah, oh, that's interesting.
That's what it made me think of. You know, I assume a lot of the states that you deal with have tennis courts, and they're lit, right?
Yeah. And, you know, that is one thing that I heard from people about, not just bocce, but some of these other lawn games, you know, shuffleboard. And one thing they like about it is that they take up less room, you know, than something like a tennis court. And, you know, maybe it's not quite as much of a commitment, you know, of space and, you know, maybe lighting and all of that in your landscaping. And also people like that they can be very attractive and they can sort of fit in nicely with the sort of look of the property in a way that maybe, you know, a basketball court or a tennis court wouldn't because it just has a different look. And so that might be one reason that this is growing in popularity. I don't know specifically about the lighting factor, whether that's unique to Santa Barbara or whether that's in other municipalities as well. Does it matter how much land you have? You can't light a tennis court no matter how much land you have?
If you had like 100 acres and you put it
right... Yeah, no one else was going to see it.
Put in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in Hope Ranch, you don't have parcels that size.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, there's no exceptions. If it was built, it's okay, but they didn't want it. I guess they must have realized that it impacted neighbors and just the lighting itself, and I don't know if the noise factor playing after dark. But some homes, even though they're beautiful and large, they're still a little within proximity of other homes. Hey, Candace, is there any way do you have a little more time to do another segment with me?
Sure.
Okay, my guest, Candace Taylor. We were trying in the first segment to decide if you were named after Elizabeth Taylor or Candace Bergen. And she's my guest today. She covers residential real estate for the Wall Street Journal back in New York City. Oh, we should have had Stevie Wonder's skyscrapers and everything. Knowing Richard, he already does. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit more about some other unusual games that people have installed for their landscaping, maybe give you an idea. And we'll continue talking about estates or, as the Wall Street Journal says, mansions across the country.